morning, Tara, and anyone else joining us for our digital worship service today. My name is Rob Kepperudis, and I am the Worship Arts Pastor at Terra Nova in Troy, New York. We come together for a specific purpose. After a week when we've been tempted to worship money, relationships, control, sensuality, and even ourselves, a call to worship God wakes us up to the fact that we are sojourners and exiles in this world. That there is one true God, and that he deserves to be exalted in our minds, in our hearts, and in our wills. He is deserving of our worship today. Hear God's word as we begin our worship service in song. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3 says this: "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Let's sing.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Good morning. Today's scripture reading is Matthew 10:26-42. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Hey, thank you for joining us online this morning, as this is how we have been doing our Sunday services since March. However, today, we are excited to be moving into the next phase of Terra Nova Troy's reopening plan. Many of us are meeting outside this weekend for Sunday worship at various locations in the area for our regional tribe gatherings. And you may have already heard about this through our Thursday updates that we release each week on our YouTube channel. These smaller outdoor gatherings of our tribes will be how we will worship together for the next month or so, until we can begin meeting again in Rev Hall and on River Street in Troy in late August. We are waiting on Browns to finish up their renovations there. Well, anyway, I'm excited as we are turning a corner as a church. Well, last week, Pastor Tori got us started in Matthew chapter 10. We talked about how Jesus was sending his disciples out with a mission to proclaim the good news that the Lord had come to bring salvation to the world. We looked at what that meant for them then and what that means for us now. Well, let's pick up that discussion about discipleship here in the second half of Matthew chapter 10 as we continue our journey through the Gospel of Matthew. Before we do that, let me ask you a question. What does it mean to be a Christian? I don't know how often you think about that. Maybe that's an easy question for you to answer. Maybe you're not so sure. What's it mean to be a Christian? I mean, to believe in Jesus, certainly that's important. To believe the right doctrines, what the Bible teaches, yes, for sure. To go to church, to live a certain way, to dress a certain way, to talk a certain way, maybe even to vote a certain way. Lots of people have ideas of what it means to be a Christian. And faith in Christ should affect every area of our lives. But the Lord doesn't really address any of those examples when he was speaking here to his disciples. The fact is, millions of people around the world are Christians in the sense that they think of themselves that way based on where they were born or their family's religious background. But faith in Jesus is different. Being a Christian is about being a disciple of Jesus. We're not Christians because of where we were born or what our parents believed or which church we attend. To be a Christian means that you follow Jesus. Come follow me are the words the Lord said when he called his 12 disciples on a journey of faith. And it's the same for us today. Being a Christian starts with a response to Jesus by faith, to trust him and to follow the Lord where he leads. I think we can say to be a Christian is to be a follower of Christ, to take the same path that Jesus took. The Lord makes that clear in verse 24. A student is not above his teacher, or a servant above his master. Putting our faith in Jesus is the beginning of the journey. A journey where the Lord transforms us by his grace to join him in his mission. And what is his mission? To share the gospel, the good news that our Redeemer has come. Our mission is to proclaim that our Savior gave his life to rescue the world from our sin and to reconcile us to God and to one another. Our mission is to share that good news. Let me stop here and just open us with a word of prayer. If you'll join me, I just offer up this time to the Lord and ask him to bless our discussion today, help us to see the things that we need to see and hear those things that we need to hear. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful to be able to open your word today and be able to hear your words that you taught so many years ago to your disciples and that you left for us. Lord, may we be challenged with them just as those disciples were when they heard them. Lord, help us to see clearly what it means to follow you. Lord, that we can find that life that you have in you as we lay down our life with you at the center. Thank you, Lord, and by your grace we pray. Well, there's quite a lot in this passage, and we won't have time to dig as deeply as we should just in this shorter video format. But here are the three main applications that we can take home with us. First one is this call to share the gospel with courage. In verses 26 through 33, I think that's what the Lord is driving at. We need to share the gospel with courage. There's a job to do, and we need to take courage because it's not going to be an easy one. Secondly, we need to find our life with Christ at the center. Find your life with Christ at the center. We see that there in verses 34 through 39. And then the last challenge the Lord leaves with us is to participate in the mission of the gospel. We are to called on this mission together, verses 40 through 42. All right. Well, as I think about this message, I remember 10 or 15 years ago, there was a big buzzword in churches and in leadership magazines and websites. That word was missional. Some of you might remember that. Churches needed to be missional. And overall, it was a good discussion. It got pastors and church leaders to think about our priorities in relation to the gospel. Many churches realized that they'd lost sight of our mission. They'd lost focus of what the mission of the church is, to extend the gospel outside the four walls of our building, to reach our neighbors and to serve our community. For many congregations, this was a reawakening of who we are as God's people. The church can have a solid focus on the eternal, on our worship, our preaching, our studying of God's word. We can do very well in that area. And we can do fairly well in the area of the internal, where we apply what we are learning. We're living faithfully to God, loving one another well. Yet it's really easy to be content to keep the life-transforming gospel of Jesus to ourselves. And that's where we come to Matthew chapter 10 today. The Lord's teaching here reminds us that discipleship must have an external focus. So let's look at that first challenge from the Lord. Share the gospel with courage. So have no fear of them, for nothing is concealed that will not be revealed. Jesus came into our world to bring salvation and reconciliation. The Lord reminds us in this passage here to be confident as we share the good news. How so? Because the message of Jesus is still the good news. We all need the promise of the gospel as much today as any time in the past. You know, our country's been going through some very challenging times these last several months. Whether that's the effects of the pandemic or the national unrest recently that's caused us to focus again on injustice and racial inequality, good discussions. And it's also an election year, so tensions are elevated. Well, no doubt there are areas of life, culturally and politically, which need to be addressed. Yet we know that our struggles run deeper than the issues that are being debated in the news and on the streets. The teachings of Jesus remind us that the sins of injustice, cruelty, prejudice, and hate, they're not solely products of cultural structures. They come from the human heart, wrecked by sin and in need of redemption. You know, we can look to our political leaders to write laws or enact policies that promote equality and justice, but we all need salvation and reconciliation that come through faith in Jesus, the one who gave his life to rescue this world from our sin. We can share the gospel with courage because the message of Jesus is what changes us from the inside out. He is the hope that we need. So we can proclaim the gospel boldly with the confidence that we have from knowing our Savior. For most of us, the idea of challenging someone in our life to think about faith in Jesus, it's just daunting. Maybe it's because we don't want to appear to be pushy or self-righteous. Maybe we're thinking maybe people will get annoyed or we'll lose friends. Maybe it's because we don't feel like we know what to say. Do I know enough about the Bible? Do I have answers for the questions? Am I going to sound stupid or less educated? Well, you know, you don't need to be a Bible expert or an experienced debater to share the hope of the gospel. Frankly, I think people are put off by either of those. Often the best place to start is with your story of how you came to trust the Lord. Don't underestimate your personal journey. We know the good news because we know Jesus. As followers of the Lord, we need to be men and women who are reading God's word and trying to better understand God's redemptive plan through Christ. But a lot of times, people will be more open to hearing about how the gospel of Jesus got a hold of your heart than they are to want to debate you. Sometimes that's the best place to start. I just want to focus on the fact that we can overcome fear to share the gospel with those around us who need to hear it. The Lord says, "Have no fear of them, for nothing concealed will not be revealed." In these verses, the Lord taught his disciples that his encouragement to them to be courageous, to share the gospel boldly, is grounded in an eternal perspective. Think about that. Jesus is the one who will judge all of us someday. So we can stand up to the judgments of those who don't want to hear the gospel or think we should keep our faith to ourselves. As we face opposition, we also need to remember the seriousness of our need before a holy God. Our friends and family members need to hear the Lord, or hear that the Lord will hold us accountable for our sin. And that only through Jesus can those debts be paid. Only through trusting the Lord can we be reconciled to God and to each other. Telling people their need to trust Jesus can be intimidating, as many are going to give you pushback. Some might be indifferent, while others might be hostile to the claims of the gospel, or maybe even to you. But this passage reminds us that we can be encouraged. The Lord is with us. Not only that, but the gospel of Jesus is still changing lives. One of the criticisms we hear today is that the exclusive nature of our message, that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, and that trusting in Christ alone is the only hope. We believe that exclusive message, the gospel, because that's what Jesus taught. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Yet this exclusive gospel has produced the most inclusive faith in the history of the world. Christianity has taken hold in every continent, in nearly every country. The message of Jesus transcends ethnic groups and socioeconomic status, political parties. Every day around the world, the Church of Jesus Christ continues to grow as people of all backgrounds and creeds hear the good news of Jesus in their own language, for their own culture. Never has that been more true in the world than today. The Lord is building a very diverse church, both here and around the world. Be encouraged. We also need to remind that we can trust the Lord will provide for us when speaking about Jesus might cost us. As you make the effort to share the good news, remember the promises of the Lord in verses 29 through 32. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the Father? Fear not, for you are more valuable than many sparrows. And I know we don't think much about birds. That was a big part of their culture, and Jesus was using that as just an illustration. If a bird, little sparrow, can fall to the ground, and the Lord knows about it, how much more does he care about us? Our Father loves us and will always provide for his children. Well, the Lord could have stopped here in this instruction to his disciples. Just go share the good news. Be bold and share the good news. But he continued to talk about the challenges ahead and how his disciples could find the grace to overcome opposition and even marginalization for holding firmly to the Word of God and for proclaiming the gospel. We see this in verses 34 through 39. Where the Lord teaches us that we will not make it on our own strength and determination. The strength of a disciple in any circumstances is to have the life of Christ within us. Brings us to that second application here for us. Find your life with Christ at the center. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will find it. I think most of us are familiar with that statement right there from the Lord. It's kind of that discipleship paradox. If you want to hold on to your life, be in control, you're going to lose your life. But if you're willing to give it up, to lay it down, you'll find your life in Christ. Trying to live faithfully to the Lord is not easy. I think all of us know that if we've been trusting the Lord for a while. I think we can all get discouraged when following Jesus seems to add to the challenges of life that all of us are already facing in varying degrees. You know that feeling? you're trying to honor God and do the right thing, yet following Jesus brings more hardships, not less. At least it seems like that way sometimes. Yet this should not surprise us. In the second section, Jesus was warning his disciples to expect life to be hard when we're trying to be faithful disciples. In fact, he says something here that might shock us a little when we first read it. Do not think I have come to bring peace. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. That doesn't sound like Jesus, at least not the Jesus that maybe we're used to. But the Lord has a point here. The gospel is disruptive. You know, I can't adequately unpack all that, everything that's in here. There's certainly some challenging statements the Lord's making to get our attention, to get us to think. But we know from the time we've spent together in the Gospel of Matthew, particularly in the spring when we were working through the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus is not advocating violence or some military revolution. He taught that the kingdom of God is quite the opposite of that. His kingdom is the opposite of earthly kingdoms that use force and coercion to get people to comply. Just as Jesus faced serious opposition for what he taught, so we can expect to receive pushback, likely from those who are closest to us, maybe friends and family. How so? Because the stakes are so high. At the core of the gospel is the claim that each of us stands guilty before God with all of our selfish attitudes and the patterns of sin in our lives. The gospel of Jesus confronts the deepest areas of our hearts. He challenges our values and our priorities. He threatens the identity that we try to maintain. The Lord calls on us to surrender at the cross and follow him. And for many, that's just way too much to ask. Yet in times in life where following Jesus can cause you to lose friends or alienate family, we are able to experience the love of Christ more deeply. I think that's one of the things that Jesus was trying to get his disciples to see then and for us to learn now. The glory of Christ's love is brighter and purer than any other love. But sometimes it takes suffering for us to see that. The Lord will have us go through trials and discouragements so that we can find the deep well of his love for us. A love that is greater than whatever love we can have for each other with all of our flaws, all of our brokenness. So the Lord didn't come here to intentionally cause us to suffer in the sense of having family or friends disown us. But that comes with sharing the powerful message of the gospel, that he is our hope and we need to look to him by faith. One of the main lessons that Jesus was teaching his disciples is that love for God is the foundation for loving others. Until we experience God's transforming grace and are able to love the Lord rightly, our love for others is limited by our own spiritual need. Until the grace of God breaks through, our love is tainted by our sin and selfishness. Jesus shared in verse 39, the way that you live out this kind of love for the Lord that transforms your heart is to lose your life, to let go of your desire to find yourself. All of us must surrender to the desire to prove ourselves to our friends and family, to move up the ladder, to fight for positions of power and worth, to measure up to whatever standard this world has for what is success and for who is valuable. Jesus teaches something totally different than how most of us have learned to construct our identity. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It's that simple. You need to lose your life in order to find it. By God's grace, we can learn each day to live like Jesus saved us to live, and to love like he calls us to love. Jesus' teachings here remind us that gospel is something radical and transformative. It's not adding a savior to your life for some sort of spiritual upgrade. Following the Lord is not safe like that. He demands way more. We'll find the life that God intends for us when we're willing to surrender ours. That's the gospel formula for your best life now. We will find hope and healing when we're ready to take the risk to lay down our sin and brokenness at the cross and embrace the life of discipleship. The gospel is disruptive, starting in my heart and yours. Well, in this third section of the teaching of this teaching time, the Lord speaks to how he will provide for his disciples as we follow him in the gospel mission. He spoke about the people that God will use along the way to encourage us spiritually and physically. This is a reminder that we are not alone in this journey. The mission of discipleship is not a solitary pursuit. Too often, we think of our faith in Christ individualistically. Maybe that's a product of our Western background or modernism, I don't know. But I think we too often tell ourselves that our faith is personal and that we need to deal with stuff on our own. This section reminds us that Jesus did not see it that way. Disciples have been called to serve together. We need one another. Our call is to the mission of the gospel. And it's a call to come together. So we need to participate in the mission of the gospel. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Let's look at this last passage in verses 40 through 42. We are called to participate in the mission of the gospel. I just want to say that if you're missing a clear purpose in life, if you're feeling like your life is empty or you're drifting, then maybe you're not aligned with the mission. Think about that. If you're a follower of Jesus, but you're struggling to find fulfillment, satisfaction in whatever it is you're doing in life, then maybe that's because you've lost sight of the gospel calling that Jesus has for you, to be a part of his work, to share the good news. What's that look like? What's that look like? Well, whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Other words there. It starts with welcoming the Lord into your heart. Welcome the Lord into your heart. Participating in the plans of God, being a part of what the Lord is doing in this world, starts with a faith response to Jesus. Have you responded personally to the promise of the gospel that the Lord came into this world to give his life in order to pay for your sins and to give you a new life as you put your trust in him? The journey of discipleship starts with a confession of faith in Jesus. Do you know him as your Savior? Have you welcomed the Lord into your life? Also said, whoever receives you receives me. I want to focus on that statement there. We are to welcome God's people into our lives. Welcome God's people into your life. Jesus is teaching here that the mission of the gospel will go forward as God's people respond to the call together. Our calling is to help one another live out this mission together. The first place that happens is in your local church, the community of Christians who gather each week to worship, to encourage, and to serve. We can't do this on our own. By God's grace, we've been getting through this time where our meetings have been online and over the phone the last 3 or 4 months. I hope that all this time being separated, not seeing friends, family, particularly our church family, I hope that's reminded you how important it is to have a church family and how encouraging it is to be able to meet in person. We went through some scary times the last few months, and this whole ordeal is not over yet. We have a long way to go, I'm afraid, to be careful. I just want to get through 2020. But seriously, I can't imagine what it's been like for those who do not have a faith community of other sisters and brothers in Christ who are there for them, to encourage them. I know that some people watching this online don't normally attend Terra Nova Troy, but maybe that's you've just someone's been sending you the link to this video, or maybe you found us online and this has been your church for a while. Let me say that if you don't have a church family and you're here in the capital region, please think about getting involved in our church. In another month or so, we're going to be back in Troy for our weekly services. Please join us at Rev Hall. Get to know us in person. We all need to be part of what the Lord is doing through local gatherings like Terra Nova Church. So be a part of God's family. And also, I also want to encourage you to share in the mission of the gospel. If your participation in the gospel is limited to sitting through a Sunday service or watching us online, then get invested. Really, get invested. Be a part of what God is doing. Find your place to serve, whether that's on a Sunday morning when we're back here in Troy, or in the community, serving our neighbors. We're trying to do as much of that as we can. And if you need help figuring out where you can serve, talk to someone. Talk to me. I'd be glad to help you. Just be a part of what God is doing through our church. Here's another important way to get connected, be a part of what God is doing. Join one of our tribes, our home groups. This is not just some optional thing that we do at Terra Nova because it's just the good thing to do. We need each other. We need to be walking this journey together. I know that I have personally found this to be true the last few months. You know, for those of us who were connected in a tribe, we had each other. Whether it was a text or a phone call or online meetings where we talked about what we were learning on Sundays. We joked together, we laughed together, we just kind of talked through how we were handling everything, and we prayed together. I mean, these were all very encouraging parts of that journey, especially back in the spring when things were a little scary and we weren't sure how long this was going to go, being separated. I was glad to have my tribe. So I just want to encourage you about that. Be a part of a tribe. Don't walk this journey alone. Another thing I want to say is, as far as getting invested in our church, is support what we're doing financially. If you believe that God is in this church, then be a part of it. Help us do this in the coming weeks and months, and seeing where the Lord will take us here as we work through this pandemic and whatever else is to follow. We want to see God work through us. We need your help. I also want to encourage you to pray for Terra Nova Church. If you're invested in your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're invested in this church, you're going to pray for us. Pray for other people that you might serve with. Pray for those folks in your tribe. Pray for us as leaders. We really ask you to do that. Ask for the Lord to help us. Give us wisdom to do what we need to do, to share the good news with our neighbors. Well, as we close today, let me leave you with one last challenge. It's been 4 months since we've been able to hold a service with live worship and preaching. As I said, there's groups meeting this Sunday in various locations. They're going to be able to do that for the first time in a smaller outdoor way. We look forward to meeting at Rev Hall here in a month or so, in the end of August, as things get finished up there. But honestly, this time right now is going to go by fast, and we're going to be back there in Troy. And I don't know what that looks like yet. We're going to take precautions and really try to have wisdom and do things well, be good neighbors. But as we begin this process of reopening, let me encourage you to rethink what it means to be a disciple of Christ. The Lord calls with us to participate with him in the mission of the gospel. Think about that. What a privilege we have to be a part of what God is doing through his church for eternity. Let's think about how we can participate with the Lord. So as we do that, let me ask you this question. What will that look like for you going forward? You know, I confess at times I've taken for granted how wonderful it is to gather together on Sundays as a church family and as a tribe, as we meet in people's living rooms or right now in backyards or driveways. May this time that we had apart remind us of what a blessing it is to have sisters and brothers in Christ walking with us through these challenges of life. May the Lord help us as we think about reopening to rethink how we can participate with him in the mission of the gospel.
There is no other so sure and steady. My hope is held in your hand. When castles crumble and breath is fleeting, upon this rock I will stand. Upon this rock I will stand.
Thank you. Good day, Terra Nova Church. My name is Dennis Gardner. I serve as the Operations Director at Terra Troy. If you're new to Terra and you want to know more about us and what we believe, feel free to visit our website, terranovachurch.org. And if you have any questions, you can email us directly at troyquestions@terranovachurch.org. If you'd like to tithe or donate to support Terra's mission to make more and better disciples of Jesus, there are ways to do so listed right here, and there are accompanying links in the description below. Today marks the first Sunday in which some of our small groups that we call tribes have started to band together in groups of three or four tribes for hour-long Sunday services with live preaching and live worship. This is one of Terra's first steps toward reconvening for regular Sunday services at Revolution Hall on Sunday mornings. That hopefully will start at the end of August. But our tribes are our primary place of discipleships and pastoral care and mission. They've been foundational during the past few months and are serving their purpose well, even now. If you attend Terra and you're not currently in a tribe and wanting to join one, there's a link below to get you started on that process. Today's benediction comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, and the Word of God says this: "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."